This episode is sponsored by Shantikai. For more than 20 years, Shantikai has established a luxurious standard in the world of plant-powered botanical skincare, color cosmetics, and fragrance. Take, for instance, Shantikai's Sea Screen 30, a mineral broad-spectrum sunscreen mist with SPF 30. Not only does the natural formula protect your skin, it also protects our wildlife as it's formulated without chemicals that compromise the coral reef systems that help our seas to thrive. Plus, it's created in benefit of WildAid. Check out Shantikai's Sea Screen 30 at shantikai.com. Welcome to Who What Wear with Hillary Kerr, your direct line to the designers, stylists, beauty experts, editors, and tastemakers who are shaping the ever-evolving world of fashion. I'm your host, Hillary Kerr, and today I'm joined by Who What Wear editor-in-chief Kat Collings and our senior market editor, Nicole Eshapour. I don't know about you, but this summer it feels like there are more weddings than ever, and dressing for so many events can be stressful. So I'm calling in the experts to chat through decoding wedding invites, what to wear where, and the TikTok sensation that's been deemed the perfect dress to wear to any wedding. Plus, Kat and Nicole have two very different takes on where to save money when you're preparing for a wedding season and what is or isn't appropriate to ask of guests if you are hosting a wedding yourself. It's all coming up on Who What Wear. Hi, you two. Thank you so much for joining us today. I just read in the New York Times that there will be more weddings this year, 2022, than there have been in any year since 1983 or 1984. So this is the start of wedding season and a wedding season like no other. So I'm really excited to have Nicole, who is our senior market editor, and Kat, who is our editor-in-chief, here with me today to talk about all things wedding. So first, let's start with the invite, because I feel like that's the Rosetta Stone of all wedding outfit decisions, because you can take a lot of clues from it. It really should be like that go-to resource. But if there isn't something super explicit, how do you figure out what to wear?
Yeah, I definitely think that you can figure out a lot just from like where a wedding is. If you know that you're going to a wedding that's by the beach, besides how you're going to feel physically, if it's like hot or if it's sticky, you also don't want to wear something that looks like it's more appropriate for a ballroom. You can figure out a lot from the invitation. And then if things get a little vague, it never hurts to ask if you can like find a way. I don't think you necessarily have to go to the bride or groom if you know their sibling or like whatever your connection is to them. People who are getting married are talking about it 24/7 anyway, so there's no way they haven't chatted all their friends' ears off about every little detail. So if you get a wedding invitation and it's vague, or you even want to know like, what's the terrain? Should I wear a platform? I think it's always a good idea to just see if you can find out from the source.
I like that. You're like, just cut straight to it. Ask the people, or the bridal party would probably be another good option as well. Kat, have you ever found any other details in an invitation that have helped you sort the level of formality or sort of what to expect and use that to guide your outfit?
There are some ways, I think, to like Sherlock Holmes it if they're not explicit. One to consider is time of day. So generally, the later in the evening, the more formal the outfit. I've been to a wedding brunch before. That's probably your most casual end of the spectrum. I think then we get a little bit into the nitty-gritty, but you can tell a little bit the invite, like if it's super formal feeling, if it feels like the queen is inviting you to an event, like the script and stuff, I think then you can get the sense that it's a little more formal. If there are more playful touches, then I think you can kind of take cues from that as well.
And I think you can also know your audience. For example, Persians, a lot of the weddings I go to, they go full out. They want to wear their nicest dress. They want to wear their jewelry. They want to wear the fanciest thing they own. So if you're invited to a Persian wedding, like, that's your chance to go for it. Or if you know that, like, the bride and groom and their family of whoever's hosting the wedding is much more on the casual side, you might want to tone it down to not look like the one person in a ball gown.
So I think about all of the weddings that I've been to over the years, and I've seen a lot of different dress codes listed. One that I found initially certainly puzzling was modern eclectic, where I was like, just be more straightforward on that, please. But I'm wondering if you all have seen anything particularly complicated or nuanced, and also how did you interpret that?
One recently was rehearsal dinner, destination wedding, and the attire said, express yourself. I think that there's way too many ways to run with that. If I was the bride, I would be scared of what people would show up in a little bit. I think they probably meant to say, like, more than just a black cocktail dress, but I think there's probably other ways to say it. I think if you have to send a follow-up explanation of your dress code, you probably could have chosen other verbiage.
That's an interesting point for anyone who's getting married. Think about that. Test it on someone who doesn't know you. Say,
yes.
If you saw the dress code blank, what would you say? And if someone doesn't get it immediately, then maybe you should rethink it. That's a really great idea. What about you, Kat? Have you ever had an amusing dress code situation?
A girl I know, I wasn't invited to her wedding, but my friend was. Her dress code was wear the one thing that you've never had a place to wear, like that thing hanging in your closet that you just maybe bought on a whim. So people really went wild and fun and crazy, almost costumey, I would say, for this wedding. But it was sort of Burning Man themed, the wedding.
Oh, goodness. So
that was a very special case.
So you could kind of do whatever you wanted anyway.
Right, exactly. And I think that was the intention, was she was encouraging that. I do think the most common dress code that you'll see is either formal or semi-formal. But for mine, I put fun and formal. Hmm. I'm getting married in a destination wedding and it's going to be really warm. So I didn't want people to feel too rigid and, you know, they can have fun with like color and print. So I was like, fun and formal. How do you guys feel about that?
I like it because to me that immediately says like dressy but not serious.
I like it too. And I think it's different, but it's also still clear. It's kind of like when people say like beach cocktail, like you know what that means. It's not typical cocktail attire, but it's not confusing either. Like it's clear enough, but people still get the memo.
So that leads me to my next point, which is, what makes something formal in your opinion? And how do you make that distinction between formal and semi-formal or formal and cocktail?
I think of semi-formal as like squarely a cocktail dress. Like semi-formal gowns need not apply. And then formal, that's where you kind of get a range if it's like the dressier side of cocktail dresses to like full length formal gowns. But stopping short of black tie, which is like ball gown.
Yeah. Like you don't need a train. If it's a formal event, it should probably stop at the floor.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that as a guest, you never need a train at a wedding because there's only one person who has that option, and that's the bride. I'm old-fashioned, though, in that sense. Also, I've made the mistake of going to an awards show, the Golden Globes, with a dress that had a small train, and then I just had to carry it because everyone stepped on it all night. It is no fun. 10 out of 10, do not recommend. So we've talked a bit about silhouette. I also think that for me, one of the most important delineations is material. So I run on the conservative side of things in terms of formality. And I feel like unless it's a daytime event, something that you know is casual, like cotton and jersey rarely have a place at a wedding, at least in my opinion. Do you think I'm crazy or am I correct?
I don't think you're far off. I would say it's like never say never, maybe one out of 99 times there's an exception. But I think there's a reason you don't see like cotton used in certain silhouettes because it just doesn't make sense and it doesn't look right in a dressier setting. But I think there are so many options that it's not like limiting you.
Kat, do you have any thoughts on fabric?
I agree. Jersey in particular.
Great for a beach cover-up.
Great for a beach cover-up. It has its purpose, but maybe not at a wedding.
Maybe not at a wedding. Okay, so are there any other thoughts or considerations that you all have? Like, do you ever feel nervous, for example, about wearing something that feels maybe a little main character or a little over the top? Or do you think that you should go for that when it's a wedding that's not yours?
I do think sometimes people are like, if they've got a really special outfit, they're like, is this too much? Like, should I be wearing something a little more pulled back for a wedding? Because I don't want to take attention away from the bride. It's the bride's day, not my day as the guest. But I think that's kind of malarkey. I think that's a little, like you said, main character energy, thinking that all eyes are on you and the world revolves around you. I want people to like show up and look good to my wedding. You know, I assume lots of brides feel that way. So it's a good thing to look stylish and joyful and be photographable, in my opinion.
I agree with Kat. For me, it's also, again, a cultural thing. Like if someone throws a party and you show up looking like you didn't try or you didn't put your best effort in, that's something that like the host would almost take offensively because it means they didn't care enough about my event to like wear their best dress, do their hair, show up as the best version of themselves. But I also think even just me, if I throw a party, like I want people to look great. Like I wouldn't want to be the only one that looks good and everyone else like has to be three steps down so that I don't feel outshined.
I feel like it's also a little bit of an antidote to effortless everything. It's like, no, you want a little effort. Yeah. You don't have to look like you're going to a pageant necessarily, but do your hair, do your makeup, be purposeful in the choices that you make. I agree with you. I think that's respectful. What do you think about colors? Because historically, there's always been a fair amount of nuance around, well, you shouldn't wear red or something neon or something really colorful because in the wedding photos, then the eye will be on you or whatever that may be. That, again, is an older idea, much like don't wear white or anything even remotely in that family. How do the two of you feel about that?
If you're going to be in the bridal party, that's when it's most important what you wear. You need to respect what the bride has asked you because those are also the photos that the bride and groom care about. But if you're just a guest, a beautiful red dress wouldn't bother me at my wedding.
Yeah, I think black in like the summer, sometimes I want a little more. That's just my preference, though. It's not necessarily like a taboo. I just sometimes black can look a little somber, I feel like. And I like a little joy in my wedding outfits.
That's interesting. What about sexiness? So, you know, I went to a wedding at one point in time and it was clear that one of the attendees really wanted to make a statement to another guest who she had previously been involved with and went for a look that was beautiful, but it was also quite revealing. Do you feel any sort of way about that? Do you think it could be something where it's like, if it's a beautiful dress and it's backless or they're cutouts or it just runs on the sexier side? Is that something that you should wear to a wedding?
I think you obviously want to avoid a possible slip up. You don't want to be wearing something that has people on the edge around you. Like at any given moment, something's going to fall out. That said, I don't think there's anything wrong with looking sexy. It's like that Kendall Jenner bridesmaid dress change that everyone freaked out about. She went to her friend's wedding, I don't know, a few months ago. She was a bridesmaid. She changed into a cutout dress. She looked amazing. And even the bride came out and said, like, I want my friends to look good and feel good. But everyone on social media, like, gave it to her over the dress because it was just open, 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 all down her chest. But like, I thought she looked great. Wouldn't bother me.
I've been thinking about that wedding this whole podcast, actually, in the back of my brain, because I'm on the flip side. I'm with all the people on social who are bandwagoning because I thought it was too much. It was a lot of skin. It also doesn't help that she's a celebrity, but I was not looking at the bride.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after the break. Chantecaille's Sea Screen 30 is a broad-spectrum sunscreen mist that truly does it all. The Reef Safe SPF is a natural physical sunscreen formula that is safe for the entire family. The sunscreen is also safe for our wildlife and the planet at large, as it is formulated free from chemicals like oxybenzone and octizonate, which cause coral bleaching and disrupt the marine ecosystem. The soothing and moisturizing formula is 95% natural, 70% organic, and applies invisibly to the skin. To shop Chantecaille Sea Screen 30 and so much more, head to chantecaille.com. Okay, so let's talk about trends this year. What are some of the biggest trends that you're seeing right now, and how can they work for wedding attire?
So I've been seeing so many of these, like, very distinctly Y2K late 90s inspired dresses. Imagine Bella Hadid, Devin Lee Carlson. It's ruched, it's ruffled, it hits like right below the knee in a place that we would formally consider a little awkward, but I think it's back. It looks like something Ashley Tisdale would have worn over a pair of jeans on the red carpet during the High School Musical era, minus the jeans. I feel like those dresses are really back, and they're conveniently like perfect for a cocktail attire, maybe formal wedding. And they're also not always so expensive. Like, you can get one at Urban Outfitters. You can find a cool one on Revolve. You might have a few in your closet or your friend's or your mom or sister's closet. And then what I love, because I'm very into just like buying simple dresses for weddings and then wearing them multiple times with changing accessories, I've been seeing a lot of gloves, not just on celebrities, but I've actually seen people wearing them to parties, and I love it.
I remember at our holiday party, we had a whole bunch of folks in gloves, which I love.
Yes, exactly. And you know, like, when someone wears gloves with a dress, they could be wearing a very simple slip dress. They could be wearing a simple strapless. Like, it doesn't really matter what the dress is anymore, because it looks like a look. And then as far as like very convenient trends, I love that wedges and platforms are very much in, because they're more comfortable. You don't have to worry about grass, and it's made for wedding attire.
I know. I always think about terrain. That's actually one of my questions whenever I go to a wedding, is trying to find out pretty early on, like, where is the ceremony taking place and where is the party taking place? Because I very much make different decisions based on, is there grass? Is there gravel? Is it wood? Yeah. Is it cement? Is there sand? Like, my footwear certainly depends on what the terrain is like. Okay, so I love versions of a slip dress in general, partially because I love the late 90s, and it always just gives me like Gwyneth Paltrow, Great Expectations vibes. I feel like we've all seen like a million pictures of Cameron Diaz at Cannes wearing a slip dress, or Winona Ryder in a slip dress. Do you all like a slip dress still, or do you feel like we've seen this a million times?
I think it's forever young. Somewhat recently, we saw Victoria Beckham wear a really beautiful slip dress as the mother of the bride outfit for her son's wedding. And there's this famous dress I wanted to call out. It's all over TikTok. It's from Zara, and it's been dubbed the perfect bridesmaid and or wedding guest dress. I saw someone actually at an event recently in LA wearing it, so it works for all kinds of events. I looked up the name of it on Zara. It's called the satin dress, and they've been reissuing it in different colors because it's so popular. The pink made a big splash, and now they've got a lavender and a green, and it's got this really pretty seaming under the bust that's sort of curved and a strappy back. So I feel like there are ways, always like little twists, that can make the classic slip dress feel super fresh. And check out that dress, because I think it's under $100 or near $100 and looks, I would say, around $500. So it's the one.
We like that, Zara. Thanks, Zara. Okay, so we talked about second bridesmaid dresses earlier. What do you think of this trend in general? Let's assume that it's not necessarily like a super sexy dress, but just a second look. Is that something that you would be okay with? Is that something that you think is a trend that's here to stay? Or do you think this is something that we should ignore? It's not a thing. Nicole, what do you think?
I gave my friends a color scheme for my wedding, so I think they were all able to find dresses that they actually liked. It was pretty open. But I think that if I was someone who made my friends all wear the same dress, for example, and they wanted to change, I really wouldn't mind. Maybe if like the bride buys your bridesmaid's dress, I don't know if people do that. That might be a little offensive, because they've gone and like purchased a dress for you and then you're discarding it after like an hour. But I don't know. I'm into it. I don't think it's a big deal. And I think, again, it goes back to like, your friends are excited to be at your wedding. They want to look hot, whatever that means to them. They want to feel good. So you should want them to feel good in whatever they're wearing.
I've got a different take.
Oh, I knew you would.
Yes, I love this. I'm like, we've got a point and counterpoint on this show. Okay, Kat, how do you feel about it?
So we did an article on this on Who What Wear a while back, and it's been one of our most, you know, comment generating posts, where people really engage with each other and are curious about this and have different opinions. So when I first learned that there was a thing of a second look, I was kind of low-key alarmed because in my mind,
being a bridesmaid is very demanding already. Having to think about another dress, even if they already own it, and pack it seems like extra stress. I know it would be like optional, but then like what if you're the only girl left and you're like frumpy bridesmaid's dress and everyone else has like switched into these second looks? I don't know. It stresses me out. But I think at the heart of it is the fact that a lot of people are made to wear bridesmaid dresses that they don't feel their best self in or what they would pick. So maybe that's just the case for giving, like you did, Nicole, your bridal party a little more room to express themselves and their personal style with their dresses.
So I think it's one thing to ask your bridal party to stay within certain tones or, you know, even I remember my very lovely and thoughtful mother-in-law wanted to know if there were certain colors that she should wear or stay away from, which I thought was so thoughtful for her to ask. The answer was no, go ahead, do whatever you want. But I still thought it was really lovely that she asked. But there's another controversial trend that's out there, which is asking the attendees, all attendees, to dress within either a certain color or an overall color theme with different shades. How do you feel about that? Do you think this is something annoying? Do you think this is lovely? Do you think it's fun? Is it an added challenge? Do you care? Do you not care? My feeling is that's your rodeo. We will do whatever you want. But also I could see the contrarian side, which is like, why do I have to jump through random hoops and buy something I might not even want or like just because you have a color scheme in mind?
So the thing with that for me is like, it's cute once. But if you're someone who's invited to 18 weddings this year, it gets old after like wedding number three. And that's where I'm like, that's just way too much stress on the average wedding goer. Unless it's something that's not that difficult, like colorful attire. Okay, so you don't wear a black dress. Doesn't mean you have to go buy something floral print or orange. But if it's getting very granular, like floral or sunset shades, it's too much on people.
Kat is our contrarian. Are you going to be contrary again?
Oh my gosh, that's my like nickname, Kat the Contrarian. Okay, so I think there is a range, like you said, asking people to wear black or a color they likely already have is not a big deal. I've seen like color card inspo on TikTok that has little squares of color like marigold, teal, rose, or whatever. And so they have to wear one of those colors. So it can get a little out of hand. But I think if that's your true vision and that's going to bring you so much happiness as a bride, you just have to prioritize like how annoying you're going to be to your guests. Are you going to do no plus ones, no kids? Figure out what's most important to you so you don't have the most like rule-bound wedding ever.
Right. You can't have a destination wedding with no plus ones and no children and a dress code and 14 different events and. It's like pick one, maybe two things that you really care about. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay. So obviously there's a financial piece to all of this. If you have a ton of weddings to go to, or even if it's just one, what are some of your best tips for keeping sort of your spending under control while still looking amazing?
So I think I already touched on this a little earlier, but if you're not comfortable with renting or you're someone who like always needs to tailor things to fit you, you want to buy a dress, but you can't buy 10 dresses for the summer, let's say. Buy something like black, or if you don't want to go with black, a little more light but neutral, and just switch up your accessories, switch up your hair. I've worn the same dress, but sometimes I wear a lot of jewelry with it, and sometimes I'll wear it with nothing, and I'll wear it with a platform instead of a delicate sandal. So I think that you can change a dress a lot by how you style it, especially when there are so many trends. Like put gloves on a dress and no one's going to know what dress you're wearing. They're just going to see your gloves. And then you wear the dress again with no gloves and it's like it never happened. But also I have friends that like won't wear a dress if they wore it recently and like posted a picture in it. If that's your personality, just don't post the picture. Ride out the wedding season and get the photo in the last wedding you're going to and then post it. So you've gotten more use out of your clothes than wearing everything once.
I love the social media strategy behind it. That's something I have never thought through.
I wouldn't see someone post the picture and be like, oh my God, they wore that again. They just posted in it last week. But the person themselves thinks people care a lot more. And they're like, oh, well, I can't wear that. I posted it on Instagram 2 weeks ago.
Once again, main character energy.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, I have an idea if you're worried about wearing the same dress multiple times as a way to sort of multiply your wedding guest outfit options for free. One thought is to get a group of your friends together who, you know, live in the same city ideally, and start like a shared photo album where you upload all the pics of dresses that you have that you're willing to loan. Maybe it's just like three. These are up for grabs. Only rule is you have to dry clean it, you know, if you borrow something before you return it. And like presto, you have many options.
I love that.
Right? And then I think they're also, if you do want to buy something new, you don't like what's in your shared album with your friends, there are some brands that are making really beautiful dresses that are on the affordable end. One I'm going to surprise you with, Abercrombie.
Did you see Remy Bader's recent TikTok where she did one of her hauls from Abercrombie, but it was all dresses? And there specifically was a red sort of, I think, one shoulder, slightly lower back strappy situation. Was remarkable. It's like, Abercrombie, that looks so fancy. I would never have guessed.
Right. Like, they're not going to have a gown if you need a gown per se, but like for your more middle of the road level of fancy wedding, Abercrombie's coming out there. They've made a big return, and not just with jeans and tank tops. Amazon also has some good picks. And then Superdown, that label from Revolve, Aster the label.
Yeah, I definitely think not just Revolve brands, but brands that happen to be heavily carried on Revolve, like Amanda Uprichard and Norma Kamali, tend to have so many of those like simple silhouettes, but in a million colors. So if you're looking for a bridesmaid's dress, or you're looking for something that's just flattering but not black, they have so many options.
Well, there was that Norma Kamali one shoulder sort of cornflower blue dress that Sarah Jessica Parker wore in the Sex and the City reboot under a blazer with something. And then we've seen it, like, it works on lots of different body types. It works on folks who are expecting, folks who are not. It comes in 47 different colors. And that one, I think that one is a jersey, which I know that I am a little bit of a stickler for that. It's like a longer length. It has a more formal silhouette. And I think you could probably get away with it depending on the wedding and how you accessorize it.
I had a friend who was postpartum and she had to go to a wedding and she was so stressed out. She said it's the most flattering thing she's ever put on her body. I think there's like a bodysuit built into it or something.
And also, I think regarding the jersey conversation, there are like ones that have like a mesh type texture that I think land on the okay side for weddings for sure.
What about rentals? Do you ever do that?
So I have messed around with some rentals before in the past. Everyone knows Rent the Runway, but honestly, these days, there's a lot of options. There's this brand called Nuuly, N-U-U-L-Y. It's not necessarily just for, you know, more formal outfits. It's where you get six styles every month for something around $90, and they have more accessible brands. But if you're looking for like that splashy, like you die to wear brand, you know, Brat Collection, Prada, Cult Gaia, et cetera, there's this company called Novo Octo that does rentals, which is really cool. And thirdly, there's this one called Tulleri that connects people who want to borrow with people who want to loan. And they've got great accessories too. Like if you want to carry a Chanel clutch for 4 days and, you know, spend a little over $100 to borrow it, that's an option too. They've got dresses from The Row. So there's really quite a range available to you for rentals. If you have that picture, social media anxiety, like that might be a good way to go.
I have seen a lot of Novo Octo on TikTok and they have amazing dresses. And I've also seen the most impressive Amazon hauls on TikTok. I think if you like start clicking on those videos a lot, or like go to the wedding guest hashtags or whatever, and you get your For You page dialed into the wedding guest situation, there is so much to be found.
I love that. Okay, so what about hair and makeup? I feel like if it's a hometown wedding, that's one thing. You have all of your normal stuff, but there are more destination weddings than ever. So how do you think about hair and makeup for weddings, specifically as a guest, whether you're staying in the city that you live in or the town that you live in or are on the road?
So what I've learned is the best thing, actually, for hair and makeup, always have a photo. Try to show a picture of yourself. And if you're not showing a picture of yourself, you need to look at the photo and say, like, do I like the makeup in this photo? Or is Hailey Bieber just gorgeous and has amazing skin? I think the same goes with hair. Like, if I'm ever getting my hair done with someone who's I've never used before, I do a quick scroll through my camera roll and I'm like, where is me with hair that I like? What's the shape that I like? And I try to be as explicit as possible always. So learn, like, Do you want your hair curly or wavy? Do you want volume or no volume? Because that is literally going to change the entire look of how it comes out. And the same goes with makeup. Like, I like dewy makeup. I don't want my skin to look super matte. And those are complete opposites. And it's a complete opposite technique. So just know how to describe what you like and try to give them as much information as possible.
A wedding is obviously a long event. There's a lot of photography. You're eating, you're drinking, you're dancing, you're sweating, you're doing all kinds of things. Kat, do you have any tips on how to make your makeup last or your hair last? Have you found anything through your own trial and error?
For the makeup category, I do think it's all about a primer, which, you know, is a step before you put any foundation or things like that on, but after you do your skincare sunscreen. I like hourglasses. It pushes you over the edge into the point where, like, this makeup application looks professional rather than amateur and has that staying power. There's a reason, like, every pro makeup artist uses that.
Which one is it?
The famous primer is called the Hourglass Vanish Airbrush Primer. She is a treat. You will not regret it, even if you think primer is annoying like I used to.
So you apply it first and then you put your face makeup on and you really think it makes a difference?
1,000%. It looks almost like blurred. It's literally almost like a blur effect for your face.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks, Hourglass. You have two new customers for this primer. Okay, any last thoughts about wedding attire? Things that you think about for guests? Kat, your wedding is upon us. Nicole, yours wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things. Anything else that folks should think about, know, consider, anything?
One thing to think about is oftentimes when you're getting a dress, depending on your height, I'm a 5'4 gal, there's often like tailoring involved, right? Which can be a hurdle to say the least, trying to find one you trust, like the timelines and stuff. So if you're tailor repellent, if you find that sort of errand not something you want to engage in, you can use this brand Feynman Partners. They do customize elements of the dress. So you can like plug in your length and to like have a dress shipped to you that is already pre-tailored, basically. It's just kind of a dream.
I'm going to go the opposite route and say that when I had my peak wedding guest seasons, my move was often I would have like one really nice bag that I didn't just use for weddings, but that was formal enough for weddings, and one or two really nice pairs of heels. And I would spend my money on those things, and I would spend my money on tailoring, 5'2 girly over here. And I would buy more affordable dresses that I could kind of hack into looking very fancy by tailoring them immaculately and wearing really nice accessories with them. Like, I would rather have an amazing pair of shoes that I'm going to wear for like many different occasions than spend a lot of money on a dress that I might wear once or twice. That's my advice.
Well, ladies, Nicole, Kat, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to our editor-in-chief, Kat Collings, and our senior market editor, Nicole Eshapour. Make sure to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, I'd also be so grateful if you would rate and review us. If you have any guest suggestions or any other feedback, drop us a line at podcast@whowhatwhere.com, or you can find us on social at @whowhatwhere. See you next Wednesday on Who What Wear with Hillary Kerr. This episode was produced by Hillary Kerr and Olivia Capoletti. Editing is by Natalie Thurman and Treehouse Recording in Los Angeles, California. Our music is by Jonathan Leahy. Thank you to Shantikai for sponsoring today's episode. Shantikai helps raise awareness for the oceans, coral reefs, gorillas, elephants, and more. The brand has raised over $3 million for conservation and has created 53 conservation-inspired products, including SeaScreen 30, a broad-spectrum mineral sunscreen mist. The reef-safe SeaScreen 30 will permanently support WildAid's marine program,
which designs and applies effective enforcement solutions to stop illegal fishing and strengthen the protections of priority marine areas. By protecting these wild spaces, we can help our oceans, marine life, and the people who depend on them to thrive for generations to come. For more information on the program and to shop SeaScreen 30, head to shantakai.com.